When a wife discovers her husband's pornography use or emotional or physical infidelity, it completely upends her whole life. Literally every aspect of her life is touched negatively and influenced by the overwhelming pain and shock and grief that she experiences. And so this is what's often called betrayal trauma. And betrayal trauma is the emotional pain caused by somebody close breaking trust or being disloyal. It's when a relationship is redefined after discovering secrets or lies that cause them to reevaluate what they thought they knew about somebody or the relationship itself. And so when you believe something about somebody or you believe something about your relationship, and then the very foundation of it turns out to be either flawed or not true, it causes significant suffering and pain because we depend and rely on other people. We intertwine our lives together, specifically in the context of marriage or romantic relationships. And then when we discover that there were lies and deception weaved throughout all of it, it shatters the perception of reality, and then it manifests in multiple negative ways in that person's life. And so in today's episode, I want to talk with you about the five signs that a woman is experiencing betrayal trauma, and then what can you do about this? It's so important to know that there's hope. I first want to just start off by recognizing this is such an overwhelming experience for a wife. And when I say wife, I'm referring, this is shorthand, right? It's true for anybody, a husband, a wife, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, but just for shorthand, I'm going to be talking about it in the context of marriage, in relationships, but saying wife, and knowing that, of course, husbands experience this as well in different types of situations. But today I want to focus on a wife who discovers pornography use or infidelity and how this affects her. And so I want to make sure that you know, both a husband and a wife listening to this, that this is possible to heal from. You don't have to struggle with this for the rest of your life, though it might feel like every day is a year long. I want to give you support and tools and guidance to help you navigate this situation in a way that can help you find closure individually and together. So if you're new to the podcast, I really appreciate you being here. My name is Sam Tielemans. I'm a licensed therapist, and I specialize in helping couples and individuals navigate the impact of pornography use. And I truly want to give you all the tools and support that I possibly can to make this road a little less overwhelming. Because if you know what to do and how to navigate it, there's hope, and you don't have to stay stuck here. I have a word of caution that I want to get into at the end. I want to share first with you these five signs, then what you can do about it. And then there's a word of caution that I find that many people fall into this trap, and I want you to avoid this trap. And so I want to make sure to touch on this as soon as we finish up here. The first sign that I want to go into is when a woman or a wife experiences an intense emotional response. That's one of the signals or signs that indicate she's experiencing betrayal trauma. She may display intense emotional reactions, such as shock, disbelief, anger, sadness, numbness, rage. These emotions can fluctuate and be totally overwhelming. I've had so many conversations with women. I've done probably at least 15,000 hours of therapy with individuals or couples. And the story, these five signs are weaved throughout pretty much all of them. Pretty much all situations, women can relate to these five experiences. I remember having a conversation with somebody not too long ago, and they reached out to me looking for some help because she had just discovered that her husband had been using pornography for their whole relationship, and she had no idea. And so it had taken a couple of months for them to reach out, and she then described herself as a shell of a person. And she just felt like she is no longer the person that she once was, who was happy and optimistic, carefree, could navigate life, could deal with stress. But now it's like she describes getting overwhelmed by thinking about what to make for dinner, or the idea of getting her kids ready for school, or getting out of bed and taking a shower. Like, these really simple things that she had no issue with before, she couldn't even... Like, she was so overwhelmed by grief and sadness that it was like a slog getting through the day. She's a shell of a person. I remember having another conversation with the wife who kept apologizing in session to me because she would get frustrated with her husband as we were meeting together. She kept apologizing and said, I'm so sorry. She sent me an email afterwards. I'm so sorry. I'm not this kind of a person. I'm really sorry I got reactive. I'm really sorry I got so defensive and angry. And I would just tell her every time, like, look, it's okay. This is totally normal. You're right. This isn't who you are. And so if you get frustrated and angry and react in these ways that don't align with how you see yourself, it's completely normal. There's nothing to apologize for. It just is a reflection of how much you feel overwhelmed. Therefore, there are all these intense emotional reactions. The second sign is that a wife will constantly obsess and have intrusive thoughts. She may find herself constantly thinking about the pornography use or affair or whatever it was, replaying the events in her mind, obsessing over little details, and all of this can interfere with her daily functioning. One thing that I think men don't understand, I did a presentation for a group yesterday, and it was a group of men who were working towards overcoming their pornography use and learning how to repair their relationship. So that was my topic. So I did like a 30-minute presentation and then a Q&A. And one thing that I highlighted with them was that a wife is always thinking about this, and yet she doesn't want to keep bringing this up. I've worked with tons of women who say, like, I just hate the fact that I'm always in pain and I don't want to keep talking about this because I'm not a broken person. And then when I do try to talk about it, our conversations just spiral and I end up feeling worse because I reach out and my husband's not there. He gets defensive. He avoids. He turns it back on me and we get stuck in these places. And I just hate that we keep going into this place. I hate we keep getting stuck. And so I shared with this group of guys that your wife is always thinking about this, even if you're having a good day together. Men don't understand this because when a husband struggles with pornography use, it's a struggle and he compartmentalizes. He's not thinking about it all the time, all day, every day. It's this thing that's compartmentalized. It's a strategy that he's used for many years, in most cases, to numb out how he feels. It's a way to cope with his negative emotions. So he compartmentalizes. He compartmentalizes all these negative feelings and then turns to some behavior to try to numb that out. But for a wife, so many women are not able, like, they're overwhelmed and it affects every part of their relationship. It affects every part of their life. They can't compartmentalize it. If they could, they would prefer that. So it didn't interfere with everything else. But because they can't, because it's just so, it affects them on such a deep level, it infiltrates everything. And so men oftentimes don't understand that. So when a wife is having a good day, or you're out hanging out together and you're out to dinner, or you're just spending time at home and things are fine, and then maybe, you know, 20 minutes later, you see her bursting into tears, her husband thinks, what just happened? I didn't do anything. I didn't say anything. So why are you crying? Where did this come from? And they don't understand that even in good days, those good feelings are still fragile. There's so much under the surface that maybe hasn't gotten attention yet, which is why they just feel overwhelmed. And at the turn of a hat, on the turn of a dime, they can flip right back into feeling completely overwhelmed and sad and angry. And a husband's thinking, where does this even come from? And a part of the reason why is because they think about it all the time. The next sign here that I want to go over is hypervigilance. A wife can become hyper aware of her husband's behavior, constantly checking for signs of deception or further infidelity, and this can lead to even more anxiety and mistrust. Every little thing now means something. So for instance, I've worked with people where before all this found out, if he was running late, it wouldn't matter. She would wonder, okay, I wonder where he is. When is he coming home? We're going to have dinner. Do I wait? Do I not? But now, if he's 10 minutes late from work and doesn't say anything, instantly she wonders, what's he doing? When he's alone, if she's working and she's off or with her friends or doing running errands, wherever, and she knows he's home alone, her mind goes to, what's he doing? Is he struggling? Will he tell me if he does? It could be you guys are out to dinner, and now a wife is extra vigilant when it comes to watching how he interacts maybe with the waitress, or is he looking around the restaurant? What's he looking at when he looks around the restaurant? Or if he just, you know, a wife maybe walks into a room that he's in and he's on his phone, and as soon as she walks in, he puts his phone away. What does that mean? What was he looking at? Was he hiding something again? Or if he takes his phone into the bathroom, what's he doing in there? Why does he need to have it in the bathroom? Why can't he just go to the bathroom and leave his phone out here? Every little thing now means something, and that's so exhausting for a wife to have to carry that. It makes sense why she's constantly in a state of anxiety, because everything is a threat now, and that is not her fault. If you're a wife listening to this, hearing that, this is totally normal, because your brain is designed to protect you. That is the primary function, is to keep you alive. When there is a breach in a relationship to this degree, the brain experiences this pain in the same... So I remember hearing one of my favorite researchers talk about this. She said, whether or not it's physical pain or emotional pain, like the pain of rejection and fear, it's processed in the same part of the brain. So whether you step on a nail or your spouse is now somebody that you can't trust, and there's all this fear and uncertainty and rejection and pain, the brain doesn't differentiate the two. It's a threat either way. So now every little thing is a threat. Everything is an indicator that maybe he's doing something he shouldn't be doing. And if he is, then I'm gonna get hurt again. I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop. There's a hypervigilance that's there because there's no safety. I just want to say thank you for listening to the podcast. If you're a return listener and have found this helpful in any way, I would absolutely appreciate it if you wouldn't mind taking literally 10 seconds to just leave a quick rating and review on iTunes. It just helps tremendously to get this podcast out to more people who are struggling, who need help, resources, and some hope. Thank you so much for listening. All right, back to the show. The next sign is mood swings. She may experience rapid shifts in her mood, swinging from moments of intense anger or sadness to periods of numbness or apathy. And these mood swings can just be exhausting and unpredictable. I remember working with a client one time where they were out hanging out. They were out on a golf outing. They both like playing golf. And the husband said, turned to his wife, they're having a great day. Hey, honey, I'm just having such a great day with you. As soon as he said, I'm having such a great day with you, she bursts into tears. And then she tells me, as we were meeting in a session, she's like, I just feel bipolar. I don't feel like I'm normal. We were having a good day. He tells me we're having a good day. I burst into tears. And her husband's thinking, what just happened? I thought we were having a good day. And he didn't realize how she was feeling or what she was experiencing or imagining in those moments. For her, what happened was, he turns to her and says, we're having such a great day. She then thinks to herself, but in the past, we've also had really, really good days. And now I know what was happening before and after. So instantly she gets sad, and it brings up all the old pain. And he just feels like, I don't know how we got here. And I don't even know what to do. I don't want you to feel pain, but what can I say? And he just felt stuck. So I want to share with you in just a minute here, what do you do about this? How do you guys navigate this together? But this is item number 4, right? It's signal number 4 that she's experiencing betrayal trauma. And lastly, and there's other symptoms of this, but I'm highlighting 5 of the most common ones. The last one that I want to touch on is there's an increased difficulty in regaining a sense of safety. When trust and security is damaged within a relationship, it can feel irreparable sometimes. She might struggle to feel safe emotionally and physically, and this links back to these other symptoms of, that's why there's hypervigilance. There's a constant state of anxiety because there is no safety, and it can be very, very difficult to reclaim that. This is what, so I remember hearing somebody describe this, where betrayal is described in this way for this particular woman. She said that I was in a relationship with my husband, and I discovered he was struggling with pornography use. So in a moment, you're in this place. You're in a relationship. You're in a loving relationship. You're there for each other. There's trust. There's security. And then when she discovered that he had been struggling with this. In the next second, everything completely changed. She was in a totally different place. And not only that, not only was she in a different place, but the place that she was years ago is now different. The place that she sees herself going in the future is now different. And so there's all this uncertainty, and all of the security that she once had collapsed into this incredible complexity. And so when she felt this feeling of betrayal, she then started to question, who were you? Who are you? Because who I thought you were, you're not. I thought I knew you, but it turns out I didn't know you at all. I never knew you. So all the things that we did together, those things that I thought were happening, something else was actually happening. And you were somebody else than I thought that you were. And this means that I'm somebody else, because I thought I knew what was going on, and I clearly don't. So I just feel stupid. I feel deceived. I feel like I'm a sucker. And now I don't even trust myself. I don't understand anything about me. I have no idea who I am or where I am. I thought I was at home with my spouse, but now I'm at home with a stranger. And I don't know what I'm going to do today. I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow or next week or next year. I have no idea how to process any of this stuff. Now, here's just a quick sidebar. For any husband that I've spoken with and his wife says, I don't know who you are. Nothing that we had is real. I can't believe anything that you've ever said. All of this has been a lie. Our whole relationship has been a lie. That stuff is really hard for most men to hear, because they have a very different experience of this. For them, this is not an indicator. It's for them, this is, again, like I mentioned before, it's compartmentalized. While that stuff was going on, we still had good in our relationship. I still care about you. I still love you. And yes, I was doing these things that, of course, doesn't display love, but I still love you and care about you. For a wife, it's like poison in the well. Everything feels wrong. Everything feels bad. All memories are redefined. Whereas for a husband, again, this is where it's really, really tough. They have just two different experiences of this situation. For him, that's not true for him. And I think that's a part of the work, is to help them both reconcile with one another. Because for so many men, they think, yes, I was struggling with this, I absolutely care about her. In a couple of episodes ago, I did a podcast with Todd, A Success Story, and that was one of the questions I wanted to make sure to ask him, just so women who are listening to this could maybe hear from that perspective. I said, did you love your wife when all of this was going on? And without missing a beat, he said, I loved her with all my heart. Now, I understand when a wife hears that, these actions do not reflect love. And that's true. They don't. I just wanted to add this as a sidebar, because so many men have a hard time. They have a really hard time hearing that all of it was a lie, when for them, that's just not how they felt about it. And so this is it's just such an overwhelming place for, I think, a woman to feel oftentimes like she's stuck there. And it's very, very difficult for a husband to know what to do, because most men that I work with, I'll say all men that I work with, because people don't come to me for help unless they want to make some changes. Any man that I work with wants to be different for his spouse and wants to help her. So often I hear a man say, my primary goal is, of course, I've got to take care of myself and get this resolved, but I want to help her. She needs support, and I just don't know what to do. So this leads me to, what do you do? I want to share with you three specific things that can help you navigate this, because I know this can feel so overwhelming for both people in the relationship. And I say that because, like I said, a husband wants to know what to do, and a wife needs support, but she oftentimes doesn't know where to turn. The first thing is that we need to have truth. We've got to have a solid understanding of what has happened. We need to know the scope and the extent of this. We don't need all the little nitty-gritty details that don't help. The explicit details do not help. I don't recommend people talking about those, because it just creates more problems. But we do need to understand the scope of this. We need to understand how long this has been happening, a timeline, so that a wife can piece together this world that's been shattered, because she then needs to make sense of all of this stuff. She then, as she discovers and gets the gaps filled in with the timeline and the scope and the extent of this, she can then start to reconstruct her world. Because unless she understands the truth and what has and understands what's happened, it's impossible for her to make sense of this. It's impossible for her to find peace, because none of it makes sense and she can't wrap her mind around it. And there's too much uncertainty. And when there's uncertainty, when there's not predictability, there's no safety. So that's item number one, having conversations together where a husband can share with her, this is where things have been. Number two, a wife needs to understand how and why this happened. If you're a wife listening to this, if you don't understand this, then your mind will continue to race and wonder and think about and ruminate and stew. And a husband who's listening to this, it's very important that you recognize that this is a foundational step, because if she can't make sense of this, she then is going to continually be in a state of fear that it's going to happen again. If she doesn't know why something happened, then it all feels unsafe. There is no foundation. So for a husband, for you, husband listening to this, my encouragement is to do the work to figure this out. So many men in the beginning don't know what happened. They don't know what led them to this. They don't understand their triggers. They don't really know what the root cause of this is. And unless you know that, you're going to stay stuck in this relationship where she doesn't trust you. And when I work with guys, that's step number one. That's our very first session. It's that important. So step number one is to walk you through an exercise and a series of questions to help you understand and get clear about what is the root cause that's driving all of this. Because then once we know that, we can actually take specific and targeted steps to resolve it. That's another reason why this is so critical is, number one, a wife needs to understand this. And number two, by understanding it, you then can apply specific strategies that are meant to resolve those specific issues. Instead of just throwing spaghetti at the wall and hoping something sticks, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm going to journal and meditate and go to a group and do workbooks and read books. Like, while all of those things have value, if you don't know what you're trying to resolve, if you don't understand what needs attention, then the efforts that you put into this are going to be more diluted than if you knew, oh, this is what it is. My low self-worth contributes to me feeling like I'm not enough, and I need to develop self-worth and change these negative beliefs about me. Now, once you have that type of clarity, there's very specific strategies that you can implement that can help you resolve that particular issue. And sometimes when I work with guys, the root of it is these subconscious associations between getting attention from some other woman and then the husband feeling like, oh, I'm enough. Because when he was young, early adolescence, teenage years, people around him were getting attention from women and they were like the cool guys. Or maybe he felt like, oh, I don't get attention from anybody, but when I did, then it made me feel like I was somebody. These associations start to develop that then need to be broken. And realizing that getting attention from another woman or watching somebody on a screen doesn't give you worth. But if subconsciously, if that's how those equate, then you're going to keep seeking it even though it doesn't work. So there's lots of different nuances. There's lots of different possibilities of what could be the root cause. But unless you know what it is, and unless she knows what it is, it's really difficult to take meaningful steps to move into a different place, which is necessary, right? That's number two, is understanding it and then taking actions to resolve it. Because once it's resolved and a wife understands, oh, that's what led to this. It was this or it was that. And now I see you working on the thing that will resolve that. That's how she's going to start to feel safe. And lastly, number three, and there's lots of things that you guys can do this, but I'm just highlighting three things right now. So the third thing that can be most helpful is when her pain is acknowledged. So often husbands don't know what to say. They don't know what to do. And that was my presentation that I referenced earlier today. That was my presentation yesterday. It was all about what do you do? So the highlight of that is, if I were to summarize that, when you can validate and empathize and show compassion to her pain, that is what's going to help create emotional safety. And when she feels emotionally safe, she then can start to trust. Unless there is safety, there will not be trust. And safety is created not just by him doing new things. While yes, that's important, one of the biggest elements of safety is how she feels as she's with him. Does he respond to her pain? Does he have conversations with her? Does he check in with her? Does he show that she is on his mind? Can he help her feel loved in those moments when she's hurting? When a husband gets really good at being with his wife in that level of pain and can just sit there and offer comfort and compassion, that is how safety is created. So my encouragement for you as you're listening to this is, if you're a wife, please, and for this is, I guess, for both of you, it's so important to know that this experience is totally normal. Normal meaning this is universal. When a betrayal occurs in a relationship, it is universal that a person will experience these symptoms. You might experience some more than others, or some of them and not a couple others, but there is this overwhelming negative experience as a result of the breach that's taken place. So please understand that this is normal. There's nothing wrong with you. You don't have bipolar. As crazy as you might feel, this is exactly what happens when your whole world is upended. So a husband hearing this as well, remembering to extend that compassion, that patience. This doesn't disappear in a day, in a week, in a month. This is a process. It doesn't have to take years, that's for sure. Sometimes I see people in these different forums that I'm on, and I feel for them, because the women will sometimes, I'll see them chat out, or they'll do a post like, okay, this is year number two of us dealing with this issue. This is year number four, and here we are still. I feel for them, because it doesn't have to be like that. When you have clarity and you know what to do and how to do it, you can heal. I've seen people make significant improvements in weeks. That doesn't mean the problem disappears, but it means that they're coming together and they're learning how to respond to the pain that's there, create closure, develop a sense of security in your relationship. You can legitimately be in a very different place in a matter of weeks by doing the things that work, by doing the things that resolve the pain. And so if that pain is not getting resolved or addressed in the proper way, it does linger and it can last years. And that's the last thing that I want for any of you who are listening. Now, last thing I'd like to end on is this word of caution. Sometimes I see women who define themselves with this issue. Instead of framing it and recognizing that it's the experience that they are going through, they start to redefine themselves as somebody who has betrayal trauma. It's this thing that they have. It's this thing that's a part of them now. And I couldn't disagree more. This is not who you are. This is a terrible experience that you're going through, but this is not who you are. And for many women, when they define themselves as, this is who I am, it's, yes, a part of your story, but this is not who you are. There's a big difference between those two things. And what I find is that the women who navigate this path and come out on the other side feeling closure and peace and confidence and know that there is a resolution that's taken place, it is because they do not identify with this issue. This is not yours to carry, meaning this isn't yours in a good way. You don't have to take this on as a part of who you are, because it isn't you and it's not yours. It's an awful thing to go through. And so when you think about this in your own self, in yourself, in your relationship, that would be my word of caution, is instead of identifying as somebody who has this thing and that this is a part of who you are, really challenge that idea. This is something you are going through. And by doing these steps and taking care of yourself and addressing things in the ways that we've laid out, and there's other things you can do. In fact, if you're looking for additional resources, I've seen betrayal trauma heal fastest in the context of a relationship, specifically the one where it occurred. So many guys think to themselves, I'm the one who did this, so how can I help? But the reality is, because you did this, you have the most influence to help. because the pain she feels is in relation to your marriage together. It's in relation to you. So when you become different, when you know how to comfort her and be there for her differently and support her and care for her, that's one of the, that's in my opinion, the fastest way the betrayal trauma heals, is when a couple can come together and a husband, it becomes a different person and can respond and interact with her differently. The relationship heals. And when the relationship heals, there isn't a sense of betrayal anymore. That's why I really wanted to offer this word of caution, that marriages can heal and you don't have to continue to experience this betrayal. And when there is closure, you can actually move forward, leaving this behind you. And while, yes, it was a part of your story, it does not have to continue to surface all the time in all these different ways. There can actually be closure because now there has been change to the degree that you know this is different. We're in a different marriage now. So I can let my wall down because I know he's different. He's done XYZ thing. He's done all sorts of work. I see him showing up differently. Like, he's a different man. Therefore, I don't need to protect myself in the same way that I once did because he hadn't done his work yet. So my encouragement is to recognize this is normal. And number two, please take steps together if that's an option for you. Because some women are, you know, some husbands are not participating, and I feel for you. So if that's you, a resource that I would love to encourage you to check out is a website called bloomforwomen.com. It's got a bunch of free resources and courses and things that you can go through to help you get into a really good place. And I would really encourage the women who, in particular, who don't have a spouse that's willing to work with them. If you do have a spouse willing to work with you, there's still good tools on the website, but I think you'll get further faster and you'll find closure significantly faster if you have the option of working together. If you don't, it is still possible. It's still possible. But for those who have that option, that's really, you know, I want to encourage you to take those steps so you guys can learn how to come together differently and ultimately find the closure that you're searching for.